This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life today. And what are men up against today? And there's a lot of discouraging and messed up messages out there that can really mess a guy's heads up. So what I'm talking about is, let me list a few things. So our culture, and even in some churches, tries to emasculate us and make us like mice, really nice, soft, pliable mice. And I'll even take it a step further that sometimes they almost would rather we were like women. And the media, how does the media portray a dad? Sometimes they'll portray dads like useless idiots with no sense of authority or who they are. And we live in a sex-saturated society with the sirens of lust everywhere. You go on social media, you can get hit with ads of with women with wearing almost nothing, and you go on news sites even, and you can get hit with pretty much soft core porn. You go outside, and there are some women wearing too little clothing, showing too much skin. And so the sirens of lust are everywhere, and we are wired, hardwired from God with this sex drive. So we have to learn how to deal with it in this culture. We have our battles with the flesh, learning how to buffet our body and make it our slave. I mean, if any man is honest, he has to face his pride. And pride, if pride gets in the driver's seat, oh man, as I know from experience, it can take us crashing right into a wall. And then for those of us who are married and in the church, there's this command for a husband to love his wife as Christ loves the church. Fail, how do you love like that? I mean, yeah, I can read the words with my head, but I know deep down something's got to radically change in my heart for me to even come close to doing that on something like a consistent basis. And then most men are isolated. The U.S. Surgeon General put out a warning about the epidemic of loneliness in the U.S. And I would say the large majority of men who come to us for help have no other close brothers they can talk to and pour their heart out to. And then how do you be a leader in your home? How do you walk your kids through this mess that we live in today? So today I'm going to discuss this with Tim Peterson. He is the leader of our men's ministry. Tim leads our 8-week men's course. He leads support and prayer groups. He does counseling, including our 2-day intensive. He has also been a missionary to Uganda. So, Tim, my friend, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So let's start this by me asking you, what is it that makes a man's heart come alive?
Yeah, I think this is kind of a surreal kind of answer, but I'll explain it. Seeing God. And the reason I say that is because I think when we see God's compassion acted out in front of us, we actually really realize there's more to life than what I'm living. There are times when we can go up to the mountains or down to the ocean or for you in the desert where God is more alive, and I begin to see him through his creation. And so I think just learning to look and listen for God and God's presence around us can make us come alive. But I also think seeing God see us, and I'll explain this a little bit more, but when I realize that God has something for me that he's created me for, I would say an identity, I begin to come more alive and say, oh, maybe this isn't this life of just drudgery and routine isn't all there is, or stress and pain isn't all there is. There's something more to it. And so I think those are a couple. I think when we lead from underneath people and lift people up in an act of humility, but also lifting them up to the best place where they can be, I think we come alive because we see them come into that place of identity that God has meant for them. And that excites us and say, wow, I can actually do something for somebody else. So those are just a few.
So let's talk about identity. What does that look like? An identity that really, you know, charges your battery, gives you a purpose.
Yeah, I think just taking time to stop long enough to say, God, who have you made me to be? And this isn't necessarily about a job, but it is about my character and the gifts and strengths that God's put in me. And I think that we can look around us in places in our life where we said, you know what, I didn't just come alive for a moment. I actually felt like I was doing something that I was made to do, or be somebody I was made to be. So those acts of compassion that aren't just a commitment that I've made, but they're actually reaching out and helping somebody on the spur of the moment and saying, hey, I want to help you. You're in a tough place and I want to lift you up. When our heart comes alive there and we see God in action, I think we need to stop and just say, okay, what is it that God has made me to be in this? Maybe this is something I need to be doing more often. Situation came, I was actually teaching a class and I was teaching about identity, and in the middle of it, I just stopped and I said, this is it. I believe I was made to teach. I'm coming alive. I love this. Try to help people take the next step closer to Jesus.
And so some of this, what we're talking about here, having a purpose greater than self, pleasing self, feeding self.
Yes, absolutely. I think when we find that we're living outside of ourselves, seeing other people, seeing God work in other people, we have to ask God to take the veil off of our eyes that keeps us focused just on ourselves and on our own tasks, our own struggle, our own pain, our own everything. It just seems like focus is in on ourselves. And I think that's the way our culture has set us up, that, oh, yeah, get what you can out of life as much as you can. And if anybody gets in your way, just either push them out of the way or step on them. Mm. And so we lose God's purpose for us in actually having compassion and caring for other people.
So this is starting to sound like a radical heart change, because just to care for another person, when my default is me, and selfishness. Mm. I need a touch there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the place that's so difficult, because we rely on our own self to bring us out of that. Oh, I need something, and so we go looking for these things that will so-called help us out of it. So we go to food, we go to sexual pleasure, we go to domineering the people around us, or anger. We don't get what we want, and yet we miss that relationship with God, that He wants to be our source. And so taking that time, you've talked about it quite often, but taking that time away to just stop and say, God, I need you to fill me right now, because I'm empty. I'm getting drained. I need you to plug the drain and fill me up. And I believe how that looks is just pouring out the pain that we've had, but then stopping and receiving, whether it's taking time to read the Bible or setting aside the Bible and just listening to what God might be saying in our spirit and what He might have said in our past that we missed.
You know, a lot of us grew up with either the lie or the influence that boys don't cry because we don't want to look weak. And what can develop out of that is that we start shutting our heart down or walling it off, because I don't want somebody to see who I really am. I don't want them to see those tender places. And it's hard to come alive when you got all those walls up. So speak to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that I try to help the guys that are in the groups come to that place of just even getting away in a, even in the middle of the city, but getting to a place where you can be real with God. And some of us feel like we have been taught that we can't really truly be honest. We've got to be all reverent for God. But I think when King David is pouring out his heart to God, he's angry at the people that have caused him pain and says, God, just go, you know, break their leg or kill them or something. That's the real heart coming out. And sometimes, and I think quite often, that can end in, no, God, I don't want you to do that. I just feel so much pain that I need to express this to you. And I think we also see in the Psalms quite often, David, after a big rant, will stop and say, but God, you, what do you have to say? And who are you in this situation? So that real expression with God, and I've talked about doing it in a car by yourself, used to be kind of strange if you saw somebody talking to themselves in the car, but not anymore. And so having that very real windshield time with God and saying, God, this is my stuff. This is where I hurt. This is where the people around me hurt. This is where I'm angry, and expressing that to God. But then you have to stop and listen. God, what do you have to say back to me? What is your truth? This I'm expressing my truth, my limited view, but I need to see your truth, understand your truth.
And I know that some of our struggle as men, and I've been there, is when we enter into a marriage and we're not perhaps used to dealing with our heart. And that was me in the early years of my marriage, and I had a lot of that anger you talked about from being molested and abused, and I had certainly had some walls up there, and now I'm in a marriage with a woman who wants to be cared and loved for, and the whole thing can just blow up, right? So how do you move him toward opening his heart, but also feeling safe and understanding what all that means?
Yeah, it's a risk. I think it's always a risk. Relationships are always a risk, but being able to even ask questions is easier than opening up. So finding ways to ask about how her day is, what happened, and one of the things I usually bring in is, what happened to your heart today? Or when we had that discussion a few days ago, how did that feel? And one man in one of my groups even this week said, oh, feel? You mean not think? And I said, yeah, not think. Unfortunately, all we do often is live in our heads, as you said, but living in heart language that is, my wife, how do you feel? How did you feel in this circumstance? And the hard part is when it points back to us and we've caused pain. And I see men most often trying to defend themselves, trying to make sure that it's not their fault, but really owning whatever truly is their responsibility and agreeing with it. And then asking more questions about how their wife is feeling, even in their answer. It's a scary place to be, and I would say a lot of men, and I've even asked this question, a lot of men fear their wives. Mm. Some of them don't admit it right away, but they'll come back to it and go, you know, when you ask that question, actually, I really do. I fear my wife. Because I fear that separation of relationship. And I feel like when she's angry, when she's upset with me, when she's questioning my integrity, and I feel like I've got to pull away, and that scares me.
Well, do they also fear them because they know the wife can read them like a book?
At least feel what's going on, that there's a missing piece here. There is something that's not right. And some of them, including my wife, would say, she did say, I had no idea. I just knew that I wasn't being cared for, wasn't being seen the way I needed to be, the way God intended. And I just knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And so that's the part that, yeah, I think we need to go to God and just let God do business with our hearts and say, God, reveal the truth in me. But also, if my wife is doubting me and I really have been changed and God is changing me, I need to also pray that God reveal truth. And so expose anything that I'm still hiding, but also, God, show my wife that I am telling the truth now, finally.
So we just talked about the man caring for his wife. Let's flip the script. How can a wife build up her husband to be the man God has meant him to be?
One of the things, just coming back to identity, that my wife has done for me, and that's especially in difficult situations, when she knows that I'm in a difficult situation, she will go to God on my behalf and say, God, how do you see him? But she doesn't just stop there. She actually will sit me down and say, you know, I was praying for this. For this situation, and this is how I saw you. And I remember one time specifically where she told me what she believed about me before God, and I had a quick just picture of myself being crushed by this enormous rock, and when she said what she said, it was like I could stand and lift this rock over my head. Hmm. That's the type of encouragement that is so, so powerful. It can't be fake encouragement. It has to be genuine. This is what I really, truly believe about you. And I believe that it doesn't give the husband a big head. It actually can humble us to just say, are you kidding me? Really? You see me that way? Is that... I feel like you see me like a trash, you know, trash can or something, and yet you're telling me something else. I'm going to believe into that identity that God's showing you about me. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a huge piece. Just that small encouragement. And the other part of it that is difficult, I know, for wives, especially when there's been sexual sin, but to have just a gentle touch to make a connection. It doesn't have to be anything sexual, but just a gentle touch that says, I'm with you. I'm not building up walls around myself to protect myself. I'm willing to step past them and actually touch you and show you that I'm connecting with you.
Mm. Yeah, and I think our wives have more power over us than they realize. I don't think we want to admit that sometimes, but I know Michelle wrote on a post-it note years ago, just I love you, nothing, you know, complicated. And she, when I was in my office, I mean, it was at my office, I was gone, and she just stuck it on my computer. And then when I got back, I saw that, and I don't know why, that just really hit me, and I always kept that. Sometimes the smallest little measure of kindness can make a really big deal, can't it?
Yeah. Yep. It keeps you going, especially when you feel, because the world beats us as men up, but then we also beat ourselves up. And so if we have somebody that's on our side, and some of the guys can't have their wife on their side right now because their wife's like, I can't even deal with you right now. And that's where I feel like having other men around us to tell us the truth. Hold on, you're different than you were 6 months ago. I can see it. You have changed. These are the steps you've taken to change. And that's something that helps us to continue to take one more step forward in the midst of getting beat up by the world.
So having another brother say, hey, you're not the loser you thought you are. You're a warrior. You're strong. You're moving in the right direction. You're going after God. You have a lot. You're doing the right things.
Yep. Yeah.
So what has happened in the church that so many men are isolated?
Well, I think society, culture has created that. A man that is relying on somebody else who will most likely fail, I would say 100% is going to fail you in some way or another. You can't trust them. You just have to do it yourself. And if you rely on somebody else, you're weak. And so don't tell anybody else your struggles or your pain, because they might use it to their advantage over you. But also, I think it's a matter of saying, I need to reveal myself to the people around me so that they understand I'm a real person. And when we in the church do that, I think, yes, there are some that will cast us out, and that's the hard part. Mm. But I think the more often we do it, the more people see this God's strength in us and our dependence on God, and that starts to change. Oh, you know what? I want to be around that person because they seem to be relying on a power that's greater than themselves. Mm. And that's attractive. I think to any man, if they know that there's confidence. I just met with a man this morning that was extremely confident in who God made him to be, not in himself. And that, I think, is something any man wants to be with somebody like that. Wow. They seem to know where they're going, what they want to do, what their direction is. That's powerful. Mm.
Tim, we're down to the last minute. Speak to the guy who just feels like he's lost and hopeless.
Well, take a step. Don't quit. Ask people around you and keep asking. Just get ideas from people and do it with people that have a genuine faith and a life that's lived that follows God consistently. And and keep asking and keep trying. Don't stop.
I agree. All right. Thank you for joining me, Tim. It's been great. And for those of you listening, you can see why he's a part of what we do. He's got great gifting and wisdom and counsel and compassion. So thank you for joining us, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org, email us at email@blazinggrace.org, or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.